You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a common theme when it comes to producers who fill in. They find this cover of me, let me clear my throat, and end up playing it. And you should see Ryan laughing behind the double pane glass. You know that making fun of the host is not a great way to earn a job. Just saying.
It's not making fun of you. It's just enjoying the cover.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We are officially underway in our search for producer Jay's replacement. And I know many of you are fond of Jay. I told him more than once that he was far more popular on the show than I am. And I will miss him the same as you will, but this is the business. This is what happens. And so as much as I wish him well, I know that it's time to find someone who will help us move forward into the rest of this summer. Obviously, football season on the horizon is a big deal. The funny thing is, for now, I continue to use producer Jay's login on our Facebook page because Facebook, which is the devil, never gave me the code that I needed to be able to establish the fact that I was who I said I was on my own Facebook page, right? So I have a show Facebook page. Gosh, we're closing in on 50,000 friends, quote unquote, and somehow Facebook won't allow me to access it myself. I don't know why. And yes, I hope my phone is listening to me right now so that it can understand what's happening. So I've been using producer Jay's login for the last 2 years, ever since this happened, the last 2 years. And he says I can continue to use it. For now, he also still owns our YouTube channel, and that will change once we get someone new moving forward. What isn't possible, though, I can continue to use his login on our social media site, but I actually tried to use his login on our side studio computer, the computer that I use for editing, and this is goodness, this is 2 days after he's officially done with the company. And the response I got when I tried to use his password, his username and password, this account has been disabled. It was a holiday week. Jay's account was disabled within hours of him leaving the company. So denied, survey says. No more producer Jay. The company does not even acknowledge your existence anymore, Jay. So for that reason, had to use a different login. I suppose I'll muddle through until we get to the point where we've got someone new. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Again, on Facebook, on our show Twix at Amy After Hours, or you can use my account at A-Law Radio. It's one of those weeks where, as we come out of a holiday, we're into the dog days of summer, but more so in sports, there's not one driving force. And I love that. People in my business at times will say, oh, there's nothing happening in summertime. It's so boring. Well, that couldn't be further from the truth. I know baseball is about midway through the season, so there's not a huge sense of urgency, except for those fan bases that fear their teams are about to fall off the cliff, like the Yankees. But baseball's got its all-star break, and then it's trade deadline, so we're building toward that. We've got NFL training camps on the horizon within days, believe it or not, just over a week to the first full training camps getting underway. The Baltimore Ravens, the Houston Texans being two of the earliest. We've, of course, got the Olympics in 2024, so a lot of buildup to Paris, and the athletes will be on their way to Paris within weeks as well. And plus Wimbledon, and plus the Open Championship in golf. There's a lot happening. NASCAR as well. Goodness, if you're into professional wrestling, big announcement from John Cena too. So there's a lot happening. It's just not your traditional powerhouse sports. Although I would say the WNBA, for the first time in its near 30-year existence, it benefits from having this void, if you will, in the summertime, where there isn't one particular sport that may dominate the headlines until we get to NFL training camps, and then all bets are off. It's the NFL's world. We're just living in it. But for the most part, in this kind of void of the dog days of summer, again, because baseball's not into its stretch run yet, it's such a long season that it's nearly impossible to live and die with every single game unless you happen to be that kind of a fan. And that's okay, but baseball doesn't have as many of those anymore. This is the perfect situation for the WNBA as it grows in popularity. And on the horizon for that league, this is kind of fun. Team USA, you know, the Olympic team that Caitlin Clark was not part of, that Angel Reese is not part of, that Olympic team will face the WNBA All-Stars as a tune-up to the Paris Games, if you will. Now, they still do need alternates. There are some players who were injured. And so we'll wait to see whether or not the alternates are elevated to roster status. And if they include Caitlin Clark, she may decline to play. If you're an alternate that gets promoted, you're not likely to see a ton of playing time, and you're way behind the eight ball right now. But she may decide she wants to go anyway and just hope that she snags a few minutes here or there in some games in Paris. It'd be a hard opportunity to turn down if she was asked to be part of it. But whoever these alternates are who get elevated, they're not likely to play a ton. It'd be more about the experience of being part of Team USA, watching how it works, and learning from the experienced players on the roster. So we haven't gotten to that point yet where we know which athletes will end up getting the call and will join Team USA at the last second. That's the other thing, is they've been practicing and working without you, and you're kind of hopping in at the last second. But it will be fun. I dare say that the game between the WNBA All-Stars and Team USA will be one of the most watched games in the league's history. Like pretty much every single one that features the Fever. These days, it's just the next record. It's like NFL quarterbacks. They get paid. The next one sets a record. Then the next one sets a record. Well, that's how it's going right now with the WNBA and games in which the Fever are featured. The most recent was on Saturday. My mom could not watch it live, first of all, because I was visiting. And she was going to have to watch it on a computer or a phone as opposed to on her TV. So she decided to wait until we were already gone to the airport. And she sent me a text. Our flight was delayed on Saturday evening. But she sent me a text while I'm sitting in the airport. And it said, I cheated. I looked up Caitlin's stats and saw that she is the first rookie in WNBA history to have a triple-double. So even before mom watched the Fever rally past the Liberty in Indiana, as I look up, I see Caitlin's face on my TV screen, hawking Gatorade. Even before she watched the game, she already knew about the triple-double. It was a headline. And so good for her. This was something that she nearly accomplished going back about a week ago. She was, what was it, a rebound shy of a triple-double? And if you're into numerology, she wears 22, her 22nd game as a member of the Fever. So her 22nd pro game. Not new for Caitlin because she has more than a dozen triple-doubles in her college career. But midway through, earlier in the fourth quarter, not quite midway point, she ends up with 19 points, 13 assists, which ties her season high. She gets her 10th rebound, adds a couple more later on. And not only is it the first triple-double in WNBA history for a rookie, it's actually the first triple-double in Fever franchise history. No player has ever had a triple-double wearing a Fever uniform until Caitlin. And for that to be something she accomplishes so early in her career, I think bodes well. We're seeing her adjust more to what's happening at the WNBA, the way defenses are playing her. She's very gracious about it. If you didn't see the postgame comments, she was sitting alongside Aaliyah Boston, who is frequently on the receiving end of her passes through the lane. Aaliyah's gotten better at finishing. She's also, like her teammates, now in tune with Caitlin more so that they're expecting the passes to come flying through the lane. They're expecting the touchdown passes, if you will, from three-quarter court. They're expecting Caitlin to have her head up and to be looking at them if they're in position to score or if they're streaking down court or if they're cutting toward the hoop. Caitlin's going to find them, or she's going to try. And some of her turnovers, well, they've been passes that have bounced off the hands of her teammates in the past, but those are coming down because her teammates are now more aware that she is going to find them on the fast break. She's going to find them in the half court sets if they put themselves in position. So yeah, now you've got the team not only winning games against opponents with winning records, but also feeling like they have some momentum. And they had to rally from 8 points down in the fourth quarter to win this game against the Fever. But that's really what it's about for Caitlin, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I think you celebrate it and you enjoy it, but also at the same time, there's still so much we can learn from it, and it gives you a lot of confidence. But you know, everybody's gonna give us their best shot. Like, that's just what it is, and I think it also, you know, shows us we can play with the best. We just got to be confident. We have to do what we can do. I feel like we're definitely playing better as a team. So just continue to build off of it, learn from it, and keep building and try to stack more wins.
That was on TikTok, by the way. The WNBA has a TikTok. I guess everyone has a TikTok except for me. The WNBA interviewed Caitlin Clark for its TikTok. I don't know much about it. I know my younger niece has a TikTok, and many of you have talks. What is it called when you post? Is it called a tick? Is it called a talk? Is it called a clock?
A post?
Yes.
It's a post.
Oh, it's just a post on TikTok?
Yeah, you post it on TikTok.
It's not called a TikTok?
No.
No? It's not called a tweet? It's not called a message?
You could say there's a new talk.
A new, seriously? You can call it a talk?
You could.
A new talk?
It's not the best.
Oh, so you're making that up?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not weird.
It's not weird?
No.
When Jay left, I have joked about the fact that all of the street cred left the show, but maybe Ryan brings us new street cred. He's even younger than producer Jay, so more in tune with what the cool kids do. I suppose I wouldn't know cool if it hit me in the face, but I do think that new talk is fitting. That sounds perfect. Way to go, Ryan. So yeah, the Fever were down actually by 11 points in the fourth quarter and really held the Liberty to just a dozen points over most of that quarter, which is good. I mean, you're talking about a team that early on when it started really was not playing defense well. You saw some of the best teams in the league, the Liberty included. Didn't they have three games against the Liberty in the first 2 weeks of the season, something along those lines? And they were blasting them with in SQ threes and Breonna Stewart rolls to the hoop and three-pointers and everything else. And that was one big issue. The Fever were able to defend the three-point line really well, and you did not see the Liberty shoot from Beyond the Arc. Shoot quality from Beyond the Arc. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So for Caitlin Clark, she was aware of the triple-double and actually really gave the fans a ton of credit. If you haven't seen, two things that I think you should look up on the talk or the tick or whatever you call it, or just look it up online. And if it happens to be on TikTok, that's how I stumbled onto it, is I was trying to find post-game interviews with her that were not poor quality, and I stumbled into a talk on TikTok. I know, I'm annoying. No arguments there. So I was watching it, but I came across a couple of other things on the talk. One of them was in the locker room following the game. Not only did they get the win, now she was out doing post-game interviews, so she was the last to come into the locker room. But when she got in there, as they were getting excited and cheering over the win, Christy Sides, the head coach of the Fever, says, "And for our first ever triple-double by a rookie in the league, Caitlin Clark, la, 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 la," gives her a game ball. All of her teammates come over and empty their bottles of water on her head. So it's like she's getting waterboarded, but without the towel over her face. It just drowning her with their water. So she's soaked. She gets up and she goes over and she gives Christy Sides a huge bear hug and rubs her hair all over her because her hair is soaked. And so that way Christy is soaked as well. So that was kind of fun, but really neat. I think she was a little embarrassed with the attention, which is something I love about Caitlin. She does not want to be the center of attention. She's handling the attention so professionally, even when she was at Iowa, but it's not her goal to be the number one most watched Twitter video or the number one sensation on YouTube. Just is out there playing basketball and is happy to be an ambassador, but does remain humble. And her teammates have pointed that out in different post-game press conferences. Something else that I think is really cool, and to me, this is a telltale sign of how much Caitlin brings to the table. I don't think this happens very often in college games, in NBA games. But when Caitlin pulled down the last rebound she needed for the triple-double, the crowd went crazy. Meaning the crowd was paying attention to her stats enough to know that she had just recorded a triple-double. That's not common. For those of you who go to basketball games, whether it be college or pro, you know that's not common. The fans are not usually tracking the stats of a player in game. Unless, of course, that player is approaching 50 points or some other crazy number. And it's usually just about the points. It's not about rebounds. How many fans do you know sit in the stands and chart the number of rebounds that a player pulls down? That's not normal. That's the Caitlin Clark effect. And she lauded the fans after the fact because they were the ones who recognized that she had a triple-double. She said, "There was no way I couldn't be aware of it because the fans were cheering over a triple-double." I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like it. Most of us have not. And yet it's real and it's not going away. For people who thought that fans would lose interest once Caitlin got into the WNBA or once the controversy died down, that's not happening. People are tracking her stats in game. What is this, Major League Baseball, where you're out there with a score sheet or a scorecard? It's so crazy to me, and yet it's really impressive that the fans are this invested. And I will say, my mom, who watches every Fever game, whether it's live or it's right away when it's flipped on the WNBA app, she's got her husband looking up stats, looking up players. She's all into it, and she's not the only one. Producer Jay says his mom is like that too. So I think it's cool. I hope that people continue to enjoy it, and it does fit the summer nicely. It fills that void nicely. And they're going to take a three-week break for the Olympics because so many of the players are leaving to go to Paris. And so we'll miss the WNBA for 3 weeks. But honestly, that's going to be great for some of these rookies like Angel Reese, like Caitlin Clark, who've had no time off since the end of the college season. And I think it's the supply and demand principle. when there's a demand but there's less supply, people get antsy. They'll pay more for it, so to speak. And I think that'll be the case for the WNBA. You take it away for 3 weeks. Well, how are people going to get their Caitlin Clark fix? It means when she returns, more sellouts, more TV viewership records. It's pretty amazing. 22 games into her career, and I would say the passion for watching Caitlin play basketball is increasing, not waning. They knew when she got her 10th rebound. That's impressive there in Indianapolis. All right, on our show Facebook page, it's named after the show. It's super easy to find. I know you can do it. Even those of you who forget to save your picks for Survivor Island, I know you can find us on Facebook. And also on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. It's so fun of you. Some of you have an allergic reaction to me calling it Twix. Others of you have started calling it that yourselves. I'm not going to change. I just am who I am. So if you're irritated by it, I'm sorry. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I can honestly say I've never heard this tune before. What is this, Ryan?
Rather Be.
See, I told you I'm super uncool.
This is from like 2017, 16.
I'm not sure what genre of music this is.
It's pop.
Is this considered pop?
Yeah.
So this instrumental for a song that has words?
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. So I don't listen to a ton of pop. I did listen to Justin Timberlake until, you know, well, I just haven't listened in a while. More often what I find myself doing in the car now, I listen to music when I run. I have a Spotify playlist, though, and I've got some artists that I really enjoy. But more often now when I'm driving or even sometimes when I'm biking, I'm listening to podcasts or I'm listening to the news. I am a news junkie. I've been that way since I was younger, actually, since I was in college. I've been a news junkie, and I started my career in news. And just with everything that's going on these days, I feel like my only opportunity to be informed, really, is when I'm in the car and driving, just because so much of our work prep is done watching games and that type of thing. I've gotten away from music, except for when I'm running. But I do have a half marathon coming up in late September, so it's time to get back to that, for sure. It's After Hours. All that to say, I'm not cool. Or hip. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for joining us. Top of the hour, I'll share with you my bucket list item I was able to check off as the final woo of July 4th week. My husband and I, we're a little ambitious coming off of a flight that got delayed and we didn't get home until well after midnight on Saturday, but we were up and at them on Sunday. We had an opportunity we did not want to miss out on. I do have some photos, actually, even though my phone was dying at the time. I was able to get some photos, and I will share them on either our Twix at A-Law Radio or our Facebook page. You just got to bear with me on the Facebook page because right now it's just me running all of the social media until we find a new producer, which means that sometimes I just don't have an opportunity, but I'll get to them as quickly as I can. Thank you for your patience and your grace. Lots of fun messages for producer Jay on our Facebook page, which is actually his Facebook account. So maybe he'll see them, maybe he won't. Last I knew, he was looking forward to some downtime for the next couple weeks, which is a nice luxury. I don't know how many of us could just take 2 weeks and not work and just not worry about where our next job is going to be. I could not do that, but good for producer Jay. I'm glad that he can do that. And I do hope that it's actually pretty similar to what Steph Curry had to say about Klay Thompson leaving. Jay was looking for some new joy, if you will. Jay had kind of gotten stuck in a rut, and it's not about me. I guess you can blame me if you want. Really more about other things happening behind the scenes. And it's his story to tell, so I won't share any more details. But what I most want for Jay is that he will find a fresh opportunity and a new gig. Maybe it's in media, maybe it's not. I mean, the last I knew, he was going to explore all of his options, We will keep in touch because we are friends. But what I most want for him is to find a challenge and a career path that gives him joy, because he had lost it in this position. Again, for a lot of reasons that are, I wouldn't share with you even if he said I could, because it's personal. But he needs something fresh, something new, something that he really enjoys, in a place where he feels valued. And for that, I really do hope he finds it and finds it quickly so he can get started on something new. Of course, he'll be missed here, but not to the point where I want it to be a detriment to him or his mental or emotional health. So I'll keep you posted as I can. But you, like I said, you may find him on his own social and maybe he'll have updates for you himself. So top of the hour, a little bit of the July 4th festivities and activities. And I hope that you had a great holiday weekend as well. And as we forge and have a foray through the month of July, we're going to have a bit of a smorgasbord. Look at me with all these words. Just because I love July for that reason. It's one of those wide open months where we can work in a lot of different stuff. That does include Major League Baseball. And it was the Red Sox and it was the Yankees who were doing battle. Not quite the same the last few years between these two longtime rivals in the American League East. But if the Yankees continue backpedaling, this may actually become more significant than what it's been the first half of the season.
Here's a 2-2 pitch, and he swings. It's a high fly ball, left field, pretty well. Back to the warning track. Verdugo by the fence, and this ball is gone. It kept carrying and goes out. 1-0 Red Sox. Swing, there's a shot to center field. Crushed high and deep. And this ball is long gone. What a shot by Raffy. His second home run of the day. It's 3-0 Red Sox. Jansen is ready. The payoff pitch. Swing and a miss, and it's over. The Red Sox shut out the highest scoring team in baseball, the New York Yankees, 3-0. They win the series 2-1. They go 5-1 on this trip.
That's Joe Castiglione, Hall of Famer Joe Castiglione on Red Sox radio. So a couple of things that you hear: that Rafael Devers with a pair of home runs in the Bronx against the Yankees. Meanwhile, and they're now encroaching on 50 wins, the Red Sox. Meanwhile, you have Kenley Jansen, who's found a new home and a new lease on life. His 18th, as we're talking about producer Jay looking for something new, Kenley's 18th save of the season, but bigger picture, moves him into fourth all time in baseball history. He's been around a long time. I think most of us remember him with the Dodgers. And honestly, if you're asking me, I remember him with the Dodgers, not just as a World Series champion, but more because of all the blown saves and how the bullpen has really been the Achilles heel of the Dodgers for years, even as they've been competitors with such an incredible batting lineup. So for Rafael Devers providing the pop and then the shutout for the Red Sox pitching, and the big thing is that Kenley Jansen moves into fourth place all time. He struck fifth place all time.
I had to double check just because MLB's website said fourth on the highlight, but I looked it up. Craig Kimbrell has two more than him. So
how dare he? Kenley Jansen struck out Aaron Judge, which is what you heard there on the Red Sox radio network. 18th save in 19 chances. And he surpasses Francisco Rodriguez. This is what I'm reading from the AP. Surpasses Francisco Rodriguez for sole possession of fifth. So he's getting close to fourth. Strike that from the record, if you will. But still, bigger, even bigger than that for the Red Sox is that they are making inroads when it comes to the standings in the American League East. We know the Orioles have taken over first place in that division. Lots of Baltimore Orioles fans are pretty excited with the surge by the O's. Best record now in the American League East. Still, this is kind of fun, 0.03 of a percentage point behind the Guardians for overall record in the American League. And the Guardians have been a story that we've tracked now for the past couple of weeks. We even did an interview specifically about the Guardians and how they've been able to rebound from what was a fairly dismal 23 campaign to have the best record in the American League. Best record in baseball goes to the Phillies. Still a healthy lead over the Atlanta Braves, who also had a brilliant month of June. Dodgers, Brewers, they're right in the mix when it comes to 50-plus wins on the senior circuit. Does anyone still call it that? I sometimes wonder. It feels so old school to me that when I say senior circuit, if there's an entire generation of baseball fans who has no idea what that means. I don't actually know where it came from. I just know that's what the National League has been called for forever. Now, as for the Yankees, this is kind of funny as a side note. Some listener put it on Facebook that I must be a Yankees fan. That's a good one. That's better than any joke I've heard in a really long time. And if it sounds like I am, then I'm doing a really good job at this radio hosting thing. Anyway, when it comes to the Yankees and the way they've played lately, there's a bunch of panic around the Bronx and around that fan base because they started out like a house on fire and then slowly kind of slipping away. The last seven series against the Red Sox, by the way, they're over. They have not won a game in their last seven series against the Red Sox. And the Yankees were shut out again this season. It happened a half dozen times. This was a really quick game, by the way. I don't know if you saw if you were watching Sunday Night Baseball, if you tuned in late, you missed a lot of it. 2 hours and 23 minutes. I know that's what Major League Baseball wants, but I feel like that's not even enough to give you your money's worth. You pay all that money to go to a Major League Baseball game. My favorite thing about it is the fact that I get to sit there and absorb it and I like sausage and peppers myself when I go to a ballpark, but eat whatever ballpark food I've got, stretch out, enjoy the summer. Although the last time I went to a Major League Baseball game, actually at Fenway, it was 100 degrees. So, you know, there was that. But the whole idea behind baseball is just that it's a slower pace. There's no clock to it, or they didn't used to be a clock to it. Now there's a clock to it. 2 hours and 23 minutes? What if you don't get there until the second inning? That's not me. I'm just saying, what if you don't get there until the second inning? So yeah, 2 hours and 23 minutes, and the Yankees, not only have they slipped behind the Baltimore Orioles in the American League East, but fans are freaking out. They've dropped 7 of their last 10. They've had some stretches where they're not getting any production outside of Aaron Judge, really. I mean, he's on a meteoric pace. But yeah, looking at what they've done over the past, say, month or so, they've routinely dropped 4 in a row, 4 in a row, 3 in a row. It's been rough for the Yankees. And there are a lot of fans who are ready to push the panic button or, as sometimes happens in baseball, just get us to the All-Star break. Can we just get us to the All-Star break? Anything that just to get a break, to reset, to kind of wash our mouth out, right? So give me some mouthwash. This is good. So we'll see whether or not the Yankees can get it together. But they're, once again, I mean, their pitching has been a challenge, though Gerrit Cole being back certainly helps. But the biggest deal has just been not enough support around Aaron Judge. Juan Soto has been great in stretches, but Anthony Rizzo, that's a disaster. There's a lot of things that the Yankees feel like they have the potential for and could be doing better. They have the pieces in place, but those pieces are just not producing consistently around Aaron Judge. So we'll see whether or not this Yankee season becomes more of a referendum on, hey, Aaron Judge is one of the greatest of all time, you know, to wear a pinstripes, or if it's actually about the Yankees being contenders. But right now, hanging in there, 55 wins, just kind of backpedaling a bit. All right, on Twix, at A Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. I hope you had a great July 4th. Not sure how many of you are heading back to work on Monday morning, but we are easing our way into it after a holiday weekend. Here's our latest sports update.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's a nice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Did I hear you're shopping for a car? Because I've been at it for ages. Ugh, such a time suck, right?
Not really. I bought it on Carvana. Super convenient.
Oh, then comes all the financing, research, am I right?
Well, you can, but I got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, but then all the number crunching and terms, right?
Nope. I saw real numbers as I shopped, found my dream car, and got it in a couple of days.
Wait, like you already have it?
Yep.
Oh.
Go to Carvana.com to finance your car the convenient way.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The 0-1 pitch. Swung on and hammered. Deep right center. Way back and gone. A home run for Ohtani. Home run number 28. Oh, the show rolling on at Dodger Stadium.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Dodgers Radio Network, Shohei Ohtani went through a mini slump, if you will, but he continues to be a force, even without Mookie Becks for now. The Dodgers still have a couple of MVPs in their lineup right there at the top between Ohtani and Freddie Freeman. And I really do love the whole idea of Shohei Ohtani hitting only and seeing what he can do when he's not pitching, right? And so I'm curious to see how the numbers this season potentially compare to his when he gets back on the mound. Not that he isn't a brilliant pitcher, but to have that division and to have to focus on both of those things and trying to do them at the highest level, he's done it, but it puts a lot of mental and physical strain on his mind and body. And just maybe these numbers this year in Major League Baseball, when he's just a hitter, would kind of show how much more he could do with a bat or how much more he could do on the mound if he was focusing on one or the other and not both. But we'll see. We just have a half a season with the Dodgers, even as he's adjusting to a new team, a new lineup, and all that jazz. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Glad to have you with us. The reason we bring up the Dodgers is actually not because of the hitting, but because of the pitching. You may remember Clayton Kershaw, who's a future Hall of Famer, one of my favorite pitchers in baseball. He had been shut down for a couple of weeks, even as he was getting closer to rejoining the Dodgers. He ended up having to get shut down. He's working his way back from shoulder surgery that happened late last year. And he went three innings in a rehab start for Class A team back in mid-June, but then he was shut down because he just had some lingering soreness. He's 36 years old. He's got three Cy Youngs. He's a World Series champion. He started the All-Star game when it was at Dodger Stadium recently, but he's not done. And the Dodgers would like to be able to put him back in the lineup for a lot of the reasons that I was talking about earlier with Novak Djokovic. He may not be able to overpower hitters anymore, but he's so experienced. He has so much wisdom to offer because he's been in pretty much every situation you possibly can as a big league pitcher. And still, that curveball, it's masterful and it's really difficult. Even when his fastball doesn't have the same miles per hour on the gun, the way that he can fool hitters because of the curveball and some of the other off-speed stuff that he has. It's pretty brilliant. It's fun to watch, too. So I'm hoping he works his way back. He's been doing the simulated games and now is maybe nearing another rehab start.
I thought Clayton was good. It was good to see him throw two innings. We accomplished what we wanted to.
So that's Joe. That's not Joe. That's Dave Roberts. Don't ask me where I got Joe. That's Dave Roberts, who is the manager of the Dodgers, of course, and he likes what he's seen so far, but they're cautious. There's no need, or really there's no benefit to rushing him back, because if you do at 36 years old with all the different injuries that he's managed and navigated, all it's going to do is cause some type of pain or some type of issue that they have to deal with. So got to go through every step and meticulous in bringing Clayton Kershaw back. However, excited about that. His injury was not from punching a wall, not self-induced, if you will. It's just more from the years and years of wear and tear with Clayton Kershaw. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Why do I bring that up? Because maybe you've heard the story of the Chicago Cubs pitcher who broke his hand, and the indication is that he broke his hand because he punched a dugout wall. All right, that could do it. Now, Jason Kipnis has an interesting theory. If you're into conspiracy theories, this one might be for you. On Foul Territory, he believes that Colton Brewer may have broken his hand accidentally on purpose.
I can relate to it because I might have fractured my finger one time, but not bad enough to go on the IL, and I've played with people who have done it before. We were joking about it. Which hand did he use? The movie quote. And also, kind of good timing for him.
Explain that.
Listen, we root for everybody on this show. But the fact of the matter is, I think I saw he's given up 16 runs in 20 innings. Four of his last five have given up runs. There might have been some writing on the wall of maybe being sent down. I know he's put on the IL and called up with a broken hand. But, hey, it's not the first story that me and AJ have heard of guys being circling the drain about to get called down and, ooh, my arm hurts, so or something. Now you're on the 60-day, getting paid for 60 more days.
Well, what Jason Kipnis is saying is that Colton Brewer, who's a righty for the Cubs, had not pitched well lately, and that maybe, just maybe, and you hear him there with AJ Pierzynski, his idea is that potentially Colton Brewer broke his hand on purpose so that he could get paid for 60 more days while he's on the IL instead of being optioned to the minors or having some other designation by the Cubs because he's not performed well. I don't know about you, Ryan, or anyone else who's listening. There is no freaking way that I would punch a dugout wall with the attempt, with the goal of breaking my hand just so I could get paid for 60 more days. It's not worth it to me. Ryan shaking his head too. Funny part is we both work in radio, not in baseball, where the salaries can be a lot more valuable. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Well, we got a minute. I'm going to buy that truck I've been wanting.
Wait, don't you need, like, weeks to shop for a car?
I don't. Carvana makes it super convenient to find exactly what I want.
Hold up. You're buying a car on your phone? Isn't that more of a laptop thing?
You can shop wherever you want.
I like to do my research, read reviews, compare models. Plus, Carvana has thousands of options. How'd you decide on that truck?
Because I like it.
Oh, that is a great reason.
Go to Carvana.com to sell your car the convenient way.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling,
"Come on, move!"
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.